Yeah. So it must have been 1996. And we did often go to Blackpool sort of once a year to see the illuminations, but usually we just went for the day because we didn't live that far away. But for some reason this year we'd gone for two nights, and we were staying in a bed and breakfast on the front. And I was acting reckless, like most 6-year-olds, bouncing on the bed and pissing about. And yeah, I was like most kids. I was curious. Yeah, I was often exploring things I shouldn't be, and you know, putting myself in danger, much to the dismay of my mum and dad. And I remember that the plan was we were going to go to the other end of the strip for some tea, and we were going to drive down and take in the illuminations on the way. And my mum was getting ready in the toilet, and my dad had just gone down to the bar to get some drinks and that, I think. And yeah, I was excited to be there. I was excited to not be at school. And then I think at that age, you feel most in love with your parents. I think they're your best friends, and they're your whole world, and they keep you safer, and you know them better than anyone else. And when they're happy together with you, that you never want life to change.
Would you say that's your biggest fear?
Would I say what's my biggest fear?
Change.
I'd probably say being drowned and buried at the bottom of a lake is my biggest fear.
Okay.
Sorry.
Do you want to tell me any more about that?
Not right now, no, sorry. I wouldn't mind getting to the bottom of this Blackpool Illuminations story, if that's okay. Cheers, thanks. So anyway, where was I? So I wanted to see out of the window, but I wasn't tall enough, and the only way I could get in the leverage to do so was by climbing onto the radiator pipe, which was following the skirting board round the edge of the room.
Yeah.
So I did.
Could you tell me what happened next?
Using the strength of my chin, I could hold onto the window. So with that and my fingers also sort of gripping the rim as well, and I was kind of doomed from the start, I think, because instantly my foot slipped, bit into the brick, I split the skin and bust both lips. I screeched, you know the way sand inevitably fucks your chips up when you eat them on the beach? Well, that's the way the rust rubbed into my gums. The blood was gushing and I screamed. It was a gale force ushered from a paltry gust. My ears were ringing, my face was stinging from ear to ear, like I'd been kissing all the dead jellyfish that kept washing up on the beaches round here. So mum, she had to run to get the cowpole from the chemist, while dad pacified me with a pack of crisps. And I remember this bit specifically, cause for some reason the ones he gave to me were packaged differently. Typically these don't come in a blue bag, they come ready solid, a self-explanatory tag. But I was stopped in my tracks as the new premise was flagged that colour coding wasn't gospel at all, it was just a bonus gag. And maybe the flavour ready meant we're already doomed. And what if salted meant salted like the salt rubbed in the wound of every injury I'd accumulated trying to leave the room?
Cause in a future still unwritten,
punishment is waiting for a moment you don't get to choose. The crying soon subsided when the cowpole worked his magic. So we bundled in the car to see the golden mile looking absolutely tragic. The fizzy fish I was sucking on fell and flopped under the seat, and got caked in dead skin and crisp crumbs, impossible to eat. So instead I stared out across the pitch black Irish sea and wondered what other pleasures were still left out there waiting for me. The illuminations no longer of appeal, for I'd seen through the illusion when I bit the brick, and now I knew what was really real and what was just the punchline of this joke shop magic trick. And I just stopped staring. 6 years old and I stopped caring. Eventually I stopped staring directly at anything. Head down, just keep moving. Chasing girls and listening to music. Convinced I'd never amount to anything. Convinced I was of no use to no one. That trajectory was so soothing. Nothing to prove, nothing to lose. Except days on end, stoned in a daze. Waking up in a haze again. The world started illuminating itself to me in new ways. So here I was again, on a grey mid-May day, in line for the big one, when a beautiful day suddenly blurred out over the PA so loud I leapt out of my skin all over again. The pill kind of gave me kicked in, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was so comforting to know that I started within me to feel things. Cause for a time I never thought I would again. And that's so terrifying. That's terrifying at any age. Perhaps we could reach utopia after all.
Are you making this up?
Some of it, yeah. Why?
Well, what are you doing that for?
I just didn't want to burden anyone with the truth.
The truth?
Because I know now I'm never gonna get my utopia. But if I can show you how to cope and give you scope to grow beyond the moment of each new low, then I know I don't need utopia. Cause the unknown is the only true hope for a brighter future. And if you know that, then beyond the food, warmth and shelter, beyond the bedtime stories I always swore to you were true, I've given everything I could ever give to you. You won't remember, but we took you to Blackpool too. And I watched you like a hawk as you explored beneath the boardwalk in those big clumsy shoes your grandma bought for you. And I drove us home as the sun set. We were listening to the latest bounces by the band. You'd fallen asleep and I squeezed your mother's hand. Finally I'd made it, and for the first time I felt truly free. With my beautiful family and my dream job no longer a dream. Still now it baffles me. I attain perfection with you. I attain perfection. So why the fuck was I wondering what wankers would think of album 2?